thoughts arising from any all of that that needs airing in the bigger group.
Can I ask you about, is there a difference in the meaning between Gedula and Hesed?
Yeah, well, they're stressing slightly different aspects of Hesed means mercy or kindness. Gedula is love. So there's not a huge difference really, because actually the Gebura, which means strength, also has the meaning of severity. So we're looking at the two aspects of the divine, the kindness, the expansiveness, which in Judaism is called the mercy of the Lord. Other side is the wrathful side, or the Geburic side, or the kind of severity of the Lord. There isn't a huge, I mean, it's a slight semantic difference between mercy and love, really, not very significant. Because in a certain way, the root really of the word mercy in both Arabic and Aramaic comes from Rachmin, which is the word, Rachma is the word for womb, the generative female kind of principle that creates life. So the root of mercy is in the sense of loving, creativity and growth. Root of love, also the same.
Yeah, thank you. That helps a lot. And when we were talking about love yesterday, I think you sort of referred to it as eros.
Yeah.
And so, is it particularly eros?
Well, it depends.
Agape, or
well, it depends what you mean. Well, it is more eros because it is the desire. So, agape, of course, is the capacity of the heart that receives all. But eros is the creative principle. It is the desire that creates the world. So there's obviously an aspect of Gedula, which is like agape, which receives, which loves all that is created. But there is also its creative function, which is more eros, which is the desire that something shall be, and something shall flower.
Our group ended up talking about the historical Jesus.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just wonder if you'd get anything you want to comment on that.
Wow, that's an interesting question. Actually, it's quite interesting. Justin Welby in the morning service this morning announced the historical roots of the resurrection, and said it was
historical.
As well as what he said, it was historically attested to. Well, of course, it is historically attested to in Christian literature. But of course it isn't historically attested to by any independent, the existence of Jesus is historically attested to. You find it in Josephus. But there's a whole interesting question about, the historical Jesus. Clearly, there was a group of people in Jerusalem at that time, and a whole group of followers at that time who believed in the historic, who believed Jesus was an actual kind of person, who knew he, well, presumably knew he was a person. So there's no doubt. But so if we think of independent evidence from outside, the kind of the Jesus movement, if you sense, there's very little. There's a reference in Josephus, about Jesus.
Sorry, when was
Josephus?
I can't remember.
Josephus is a little bit later. I can't quite remember.
Was it
something like that? Yeah. But Josephus.
Exactly.
Well, except that Josephus is not a member of the Jesus movement and is a historian who is accurate. I believe that Jesus existed as an actual person. Right, I think there is evidence, the reference we have from Josephus combined with the the Christian literature, really, both the Gnostic and the Orthodox Gospels, that are, yes, they're about mostly about 100 years later, but they're writing about an actual human being. I mean, the idea that and you certainly you get this idea that Jesus sometimes is a entirely mythical creation.
Do you think he could have been a sort of a composite of all of those people who were sort of running around at the time?
No. No, I think he was a very distinct... I mean, the literature, the Gospels have a very distinct personality about them. There were lots of wonder workers running around Judea at that time, and lots of would-be messiahs. And his teachings are distinctive. They are distinctive and different, and they have a very particular integrity.
Can you remember what you said? Jesus said,
"Well, not very much. He talks about this figure called Yeshua, who caused a rebellion against the, not caused a rebellion, was arraigned for rebellion by under the procurator, Pilate, and was crucified. You know, and in a way, that's part of the convincing nature of what Jephes has done. It's just a historical footnote that this was a figure who existed at that time. Now, I don't think of Jephes as the kind of definitive, because there's also a whole argument about Jephes, and some people say, well, it was put in later into Jephes, and God only knows, you know. But I find convincing is the particular is within the literature, within the Gospels, you find the sense of a distinct personality coming through. Now, the idea that Jesus was a conglomerate figure, because there's a whole idea that he's one of the death and he's one of the Mediterranean death and rebirth gods that are like Dionysus or indeed further back like Osiris that you find in the mystery religions. Well, doesn't really, I mean, those particular, when you look at the Dionysian literature, when you look at the Orphic literature, when you look actually at the Isaic literature and liturgies, that they have quite a distinctive kind of feeling about them. That's actually distinctly different from the kind of tonality, the imagery, the kind of particular teaching that you find within the Gospels. And I don't mean just the Orthodox Gospels. You look at the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Mary. There's a very, you know, if you look at all those, and just without prejudice, there's a sense of a distinct personality with a distinct set of teachings emerging from all of those. And particularly when you look at the early Gospel of Mark, is if you just read that straight without prejudice in either direction, it's got a very distinctive and very different feeling about it, which is also different from the feeling that comes out of some of the wonder-working rabbis, and the would-be messiahs that you find knocking around Judea at that time.
Gospel doesn't mention the crucifixion.
No, he mentions the crucifixion. He doesn't mention the resurrection. What he leaves you with is this cliffhanger that he demonstrates the resurrection in that the tomb is empty. He is not, but the resurrection is received there as a mystery. So you're left with Mary, at the tomb, in the mystery of the empty tomb, in the mystery of the empty linen shroud, and so that's the, so in a certain sense, you know, when you come to these very early teachings, you find it also in the Gospel of Thomas, you get these paradoxes, you get these mysterious things. Filled in more really in the Gospel of John in particular, where he talks about the resurrection appearances and sort of, but even there, you know, the descriptions are mysterious. You have this figure, resurrected figure of Jesus, whom nobody recognizes.
Yeah,
and who is living and tangible, and can mysteriously appear and disappear.
The shape changer,
totally the shape changer, the not bound by the normal rules of physics, appears and disappears. You know, so there is something very mysterious that's being just being described there. And in a way, you get this very one of the other strange pieces of evidence, which hardly ever gets mentioned, because most people don't really know about it, is that Jesus crops up in Tibetan, in the Dzogchen tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, where the Dzogchen tradition is a very unusual tradition in Tibetan Buddhism. It's very non-ritualistic, and is very much connected with something called the rainbow body, which is the Tibetan form of the resurrection body. And the founder of that tradition, Garab Dorje, is taught by a figure who he calls the good zombie. And the good zombie is a magical child who escapes from his mother and goes to a temple and teaches the pandits of the temple in a way it literally just comes out of the gospel. It comes right out of Jesus teaches the priesthood of the temple. And the good zombie died and came back from the dead, and therefore is able to teach the mysteries of the resurrection body. Now this very likely would have so this is a teacher. It's a much later teaching that this was in Tibetan Buddhism, but again, it's got that very distinctive kind of form. So now, if we compare that to the one of the major competing figures that I find is Dionysus in the Orphic tradition. Well, the literature there is very mythical. It's got a very mythical feeling. You don't have that sense of the other human being doing stuff. You know, similarly, if we looked at the way the Isaic religion developed in the Roman time, it has it's very beautiful. We have a look, we can see the golden ass of Lucius Apuleius. But again, there's no, so there's, you know, powerful, beautiful stories here. But it's got a very different quality from something that actually feels much more biographical, much more, this is what this bloke did. So of course, we never can definitively say, right? But as I say, we do have the one external bit of evidence in Josephus, but that's even controversial because, you know, things get rewritten afterwards, of course. But one of the things you can definitively say when you go back to the early sources of Christianity, there's something very different going on from what later then gets developed as Orthodox Christianity. Because where in the beginnings you're dealing with something that's quite mysterious, that is quite magical, is quite connected with this idea of the resurrection body, and the effect and the development of the capacity of the resurrection. And this teaching that you find in the Orthodox Gospels, where Jesus, after the death of Jesus, he talks about the descent of the Ruach Elohim, of the Holy Spirit, the living Spirit, that descends like a tongue of fire, like a flame of fire, into the disciples in the upper room, and gives them the capacity to create miracles. We also get this mysterious teaching of the Domitian of the Virgin, where Christ's mother is taken bodily into heaven. So what's being pointed at there again is this mystery of resurrection, which the mystery of the flesh becoming light, the light becoming flesh. And in a way, you know, this is kind of this is a very particular teaching. It's a very, you know, it's And in a sense, you see, if we look at some of the other figures that are around at that time, the Shimon Bar Yochai, who's one, and Bar Kocha, who these are the messianic figures. Well, they're not talking about stuff like this. What they're talking about is the Messiah ben David, the king who comes to restore the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of, and who will overthrow the rule of Rome. And so it's a political messiah that's being looked for there, really, and kind of, and in some ways one of the you know, possibilities of the, if you like, the Jews turning against Jesus at that time was he was not delivering the goods that a messiah should deliver. Because actually, he wasn't. When he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," well, if you're a believer in the Messiah ben David, as the Messiah who is the son of David, who is designed to come overthrow the oppressor and re-establish the kingdom of Israel, this is definitely a kingdom of this world. So, in a sense, this is. It's a very personal thing. But for me, I think that I feel very clear that Jesus was an actual person, a very profound teacher, teaching something very mysterious. But of course, later his teachings, and one of the things that we find really through what happens to Constantine, when Constantine decides it would be quite handy to have a new religion to organize his empire. And specifically links the cult of Christianity with the ancient Roman religion of the worship of the emperor. So when we start to see these Byzantium images of the imperial Jesus as cosmocrator, Jesus as emperor. So you start to get the fusion there between what originally I think was quite a subversive and inward teaching into something that is about the fusing with the political cult of the emperor. And if you look at who at some of the traditions around the Pope, he holds some of the regalia and some of the practices of the ancient Pontifex Maximus, who is the high priest of Jupiter, who is the priest of the imperial cult. So what you start to see happening is something very different, really, that takes the images and has an uneasy, and has always actually had an uneasy relationship with that aspect of Christianity that says this is not an imperial religion. Jesus doesn't hang out with the people in power. He hangs out with the poor and the dispossessed, and in a sense, his teaching profoundly is about the dispersion of wealth, and the subversion of hierarchical power. So in a way, political Christianity, commercial Christianity, if you look at the dominant form of Christianity in the States, probably the most actively Christian place on earth, apart from some of the African countries. Well, these are incredibly wealthy people, wealthy places that do all kinds of complicated jiggery-pokery to present themselves as the inheritors of a very different teaching. But yes, I do think that's just a very long answer to that question. But yes, for me, I believe Jesus was an actual person, and we're dealing with actual teachings of a very profound spiritual teacher.
Are we due to go to lunch soon? Sorry.
In 10 minutes. In 10 minutes we go to lunch,
yeah. Was it 12 we had lunch?
No, 12:30.
It was 12 yesterday.
Oh, was it? Bloody hell. Sorry.
I'm supposed to do an Easter thing at 12:30.
I'm so sorry that I have lost the plot. Yes, that's right. I've segued into our lunchtime when we meet together. So I'm very sorry. I've run massively over. I'm really sorry about that. So let's break for lunch now. And well, we've gone over. So let's come back in an hour and a half, which would be, what would that be? 12:30, 2:00. Come back at 2:00 then, yes.
10 to 2, is it?
10 to 2, yeah. Yeah, it's come back at 10 to 2. Yeah.
And then we can say anything we want to when we come back.
We can. We definitely can, yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. I lost the plot, Al, there. So,
I really interrupted, but I didn't like to stop your flow.
No, well, thank you, but actually I clearly lost the plot, so sorry about that.